glad that someday, amen, could be today. We believe in the imminent return of our Lord and Savior, amen. He could come at any day, at any time. No man knoweth the day. That's what the Bible said. But the Lord said, you're not in darkness. He's talked to the believers, you're not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. Amen. I bless the Lord. Surely we're getting close. They've been, you know, church has been saying that for a while. Well, every day is a step closer. And, you know, I'm not just saying it. I truly believe it. I believe we are living in the end time, the day of the coming of the Lord. And there's been a lot of things happen, hadn't there? A lot of things happen. And, you know, just because, you know, people think, well, there's, you know, we've not seen the things or experienced the things, you know, like they did in the early church. We're going to experience some of the greatest things along with the rest of the church, amen, when the Lord comes. I'm looking for his return. Looking for his return in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, is what the Bible said. I mean, we're going to be harpazo, is what, amen. That's the Greek word, caught away, amen. Amen. Thank the Lord. Somebody may have a testimony this morning. Anybody got a testimony? Bring this thought this morning. Matthew chapter 3, verse 1. In those days came John the Baptist, preaching in the wilderness of Judea, and saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. And the same John had his raiment of camel's hair and a leathern girdle about his loins, and his meat was locusts and wild honey. Then went out to him Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region round about Jordan, and were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance. And think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. And now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Therefore every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner. But he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? Jesus answering said unto him, suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water. And lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." I want to talk to you a little bit this morning about the suffering of John the Baptist, the life and suffering of John the Baptist. The Lord said this about John the Baptist: "Of men born of a woman, there is none greater than John the Baptist." You think about that. That came from the mouth of our Lord and Savior, our God, in the flesh, that said, "Of men born of a woman, there's none greater than John the Baptist." That included Moses, Elijah, Abraham. Are you listening to me? Solomon, David, the Apostle Paul. Of all that would be born, God said from his mouth, "This is the greatest man born of a woman." But yet, this man had suffering. He was called of God in the spirit of Elijah. We know he said he was the one that would prophesy of. Can you imagine your life and birth being prophesied of ahead of time? And to realize that God had spoken of you before you had come into existence. Now, there are those that believe in the foreknowledge of God, and they, you know, believe in the omnipotent, all-knowing God, but then they'll make statements like, you know, "But to say that God knew everything before the foundation of the world, that's taking it a bit stretch." Well, God knew John before he was born, before he came along. "I just happen to believe that God is bigger than anybody or anything that you and I can ever think of." Are you listening to me? God knew about John. John, he called this John. Now, we're talking about John. In those days, the Bible said, came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness. This man called of God, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, preaching repentance toward God, preaching baptism, preaching and saying, "I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness." His name didn't mean anything. And he knew his name didn't mean anything. You know, today, preachers, that's what they want. They want a name. John didn't want a name. He didn't care for a name. He wasn't looking to get in the big synagogue. Are you listening to me? He had a place out in the wilderness, and that was his pulpit. You think about the life that he lived. He wasn't in it for money. His apparel was camel's hair. Camel's hair. A leather girdle. He ate what he could find. Locusts. Wild honey. Are you listening to me? He wasn't in the city, eating at the finer restaurants, dipping sop with the Pharisees. He was one by himself. Can you imagine the lonely life of John the Baptist? when he came into his ministry. Think about that suffering of loneliness, that suffering of oneness. That's a hard thing to bear when you feel like you're all alone. Elijah felt that way at one time, and it put him up under a juniper tree. He said, I'm the only one left holding out for God. Of course, God let him know there were more. And there were more in John's day. They may not have been preaching, but there were believers. There were people like Joseph and Mary, people like John's own parents. That's why God had come to them initially, because they were people of faith, people that believed God in the darkest days of their life. I mean, listen, his strength, no doubt, comes from the strength of his parents. Some of it, not all of it, but some of it. I want to tell you that, parents. Listen, your faith in the strength that you have in God and in Christ, your trust is going to be passed along to your children. They're either going to be weaker for it because you're weak, or they're going to be stronger because you're strong. I'm not saying it always turns out that way. Listen, I've got enough sense to know there's been some of the best people love God and do their best to raise their children, and then one of them still just, they've got a choice. God gives a man a free will, doesn't he? And a woman too. They got a free will. But the majority of the time, listen, if we have that strong faith and raise them in that fear the way God said, the way they raised John, look how strong he was to be able to handle darkness, oneness, loneliness. Think of it when they came and took him to prison. I mean, down in the dungeon. Loneness, darkness. But yet it never, listen, it only wavered him to the point where he wanted to make sure Christ was who he was. He didn't just say, I baptized more people and this is what I get. I'm not going to name the name of God anymore. That's what Jeremiah said. He got to the place he wasn't going to preach anymore. John never got that place. But he said, go and make sure, ask him, is he the one, or do we look for another? Because why? He was still looking. He was making sure. He was still believing. Even in darkness, he was still looking. It's getting dark in our day, church. Listen, and you and I, listen, like John, you think about this. I was thinking about this the other day. I was thinking about John on his knees, ready to give his head to people that did it just because they wanted it done. A sassy little girl that got the attention of her stepdaddy, who was a pervert. This little adulterer said, I want John's head. Why? Because she could. He said, ask anything. He offended my mama. I know what I want. I want his head. Could you imagine if they would have said, if you'll just take that back, John, we'll not cut your head off. There was a little young girl out there in Colorado, I think it was, in a school. And that very question was asked her by a teenage shooter that came in. You guys remember that? Renounce your God. Renounce Jesus. And I won't blow your head off right here. She shook her head and said, I can't do it. I won't do it. And he killed her right there. What would we do? What would we do in darkness, in oneness and loneness? Do we have the strength? Do you have that strength? Or would you roll over? John had the strength no matter what it was that they were going to do to him. He was that voice of one crying in the wilderness. He came preaching repentance. He was willing to give his head for his preaching, for repentance, for baptism, for telling him, what you're doing is adultery. You've taken your brother's wife. Listen, the morality in this day is becoming a message not so popular. And when preachers stand upon morality and holiness, many times they are mocked and scoffed and hated and ridiculed. And some of them sometimes feel like they're standing alone. Standing alone, standing in the dark, in this dark day. Where are those that believe being separate for God? Amen. Being set apart the way God said. And true repentance is what brings you and I unto that place of God's grace. I remember times thinking I was repenting. Going to an altar under conviction for my sin, telling God I was sorry, asking to forgive me, but there was a part of me that wasn't repentant. Why? Because I was going right back into the same thing, right back into the same life. My life didn't change. I thought about God's grace this morning because, listen, salvation didn't come on what I did. But the day I truly repented, I just knew that I was helpless, that I was hopeless, that I was sure to get up again and go back home the same way that I always had went home. Still lost, still unsaved, still unchanged. That God's grace came down in my life. You remember when that happened to you? That the grace of God just came down and said, I forgive you. Somehow, like John, like these believers, we did that only thing that Christ said to do. Repent and believe. To truly be of a broken heart and of a contrite spirit. And then God's the one that does the work. He's the one that does it. There was no exchange of work. I didn't work my way to do something good enough for God. I was just broken enough for Him to save me. It's like a man floating in water and deciding to get to the place where he's too tired and he knows he can't save himself. In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness, preaching this message of salvation in the middle of nowhere. You talk about God's grace. There were people throughout the known world at that time, in Egypt, up toward Europe, over in Asia, in the North country. And yet the message came right there in the heart of that little place to that people. What grace. What grace. To be able to just thank God that you heard. And he was preparing his life to prepare the way of the Lord. He was willing to die to prepare the way of the Lord. Not to prepare a way for the Lord. He was preparing the way of the Lord. There's a difference. He was getting the people ready to walk on the road that the Lord was on. Are you listening? To bring them into His way. To prepare you the way of the Lord. Not to prepare a way for the Lord. If he would have been preparing a way for the Lord, it would have been like saying, John, you get things kind of cleaned up before I get there. No, that wasn't what he was doing. He was bringing them out of darkness into light, showing them the way of true righteousness, showing them the way of repentance, the way of repentance and then of baptism. And then he said, I do it with water, but there's one coming after me. He's mightier than I. John was really ready to die for him that was mightier than he was. See, that's what it is. That's our life in this dark day. In this day, we may sometimes feel like the few. Are we ready to give ourselves for the one Lord? The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make his paths straight. Preparing the way of the Lord. Straight paths. His paths. Not John's paths. The Lord's paths. Am I ready to stand in the Lord's paths? Not my paths. See, I may have an idea about my own paths, about the paths that I think. But the paths of the Lord, listen, they're in this book right here. This is the final authority. This is the final authority. God's holy word and what God has said. Amen? I know they could have been, no doubt, like there are today, people saying, look, you know, I know what the Bible says, but you know, I know what I felt. Amen. Right. Amen. But the book's right. The Lord is right. I was listening to a preacher yesterday. No, it was this morning. And he said, I've heard of people like this. He said, I never ran into them, but I finally ran into one. Somebody that they believed with all their heart. They said, I have never sinned in my life. There are people that believe that. Listen, I don't care how they feel. They may feel like, I ain't done nothing wrong. But the book's right. They were born sinners. Amen. Amen. Just to make a statement like that's a sin. Amen. Isn't that right? The Bible says, he that saith he hath not sinned, he's a liar. And the truth's not in him. If I heard somebody make a statement like that, I'd say the truth ain't in you. That's why, because the book said so. I wouldn't be looking at somebody that I think, oh, they must be an angel. Oh, they must be holier than anybody I've ever run into. No! The book is right. God's holy word is right. John, listen, John was laying his life down on what thus saith God. He is laying his neck down from that voice he heard. This is my beloved son. John preached, he saw those Pharisees and the Sadducees, the religious, called them vipers. And he said, bring therefore fruits meet for repentance. Do something that's worthy of biblical repentance. I mean, here they were. They're supposed to be the Pharisees, children of Abraham. And he even told them, said, don't even go there. Don't even say within yourselves, oh, we have Abraham to our father. He said, God can raise up children of these stones for Abraham. He said, now the axe is laid to the root of the tree. And every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down. Every tree. That one Jesus walked up to looking to have a fig. I know there's people who say, even the Bible says it's not the time of figs. He's the Son of God. It should have had fruit on it for him. Even though it wasn't the time of figs. You know what he did? He said, plug it up. No fruit, no root. Plug it up. Axe is laid to every tree. And every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. John was willing to die for what he was preaching, what he believed. Listen, that's when our faith means something to us. Are you willing to die for what you believe? Are you ready to die with what you believe? There's a good question. Am I ready to face God with what I believe? His message of salvation, his message of righteousness and holiness, holy living. He preached against adultery to this man and this woman. He was preparing the way of the Lord. He presented Christ as judge then Savior. He said his fan is in his hand. He said he'll thoroughly purge his floor. What do you mean, preacher, his fan is in his hand? He's talking about that threshing floor. And they had a big fan in their hand. And they scooped that up, that wheat, threw it up in the air, and they waved that fan. And that fan blew that lighter chaff out away from the fruit that would remain. His fan is in his hand, getting rid of the chaff that's hiding among the wheat. That was the message John was ready to die for. People, they want to present our Lord. I mean, there's preachers all over the land say they're preachers. They're not preachers. There is no repentance in their message. There is no hell or judgment of God in their message. And their message doesn't even say much about salvation. Just how good you are and what a good life you can have. John didn't preach that message. He got straight to the point. Man's going to leave here. Amen? John knew he was going to leave. How was he going to leave? All he wanted to know, is he the one? Or do we look for another? He heard, no doubt, the words, or his men did, the words that Jesus said of men born of one. There's none greater than John the Baptist. Go tell John that the blind receive their sight, the dead are raised to life, the sick are healed. That was enough. What was it? It was the quoting of Isaiah. That when he came, who he would be. The opening of the sight to them that are blind. To preach the acceptable year of the Lord. When John, if you go right on over in chapter 14, it tells what happened at that time. Herod the Tetrarch heard of the fame of Jesus. He thought it was John raised from the dead. And it begins to tell us what he had done to John when John was alive. Verse 3 of chapter 14 in Matthew. For Herod had laid hold on John and bound him and put him in prison for Herodias' sake, his brother Philip's wife. For John said unto him, it is not lawful for thee to have her. Listen, he didn't even just preach that in a casual sermon to a group. He looked that man straight in the eye and said, it's not lawful for you to have her. And when he would have put him to death, he feared the multitude because they counted him as a prophet. But when Herod's birthday was kept, the daughter of Herodias danced before them and pleased Herod. See, this is the kind of smut that people are yoking with. This is the kind of trash that people fall in love with, and it's keeping them from the Lord. If he so respected John, he could have repented. But he's busy watching his stepdaughter dance. Danced before them and pleased Herod. Whereupon he promised with an oath to give her whatsoever she would ask. And she, being before instructed of her mother, said, give me here John Baptist's head in a charger. Can you imagine being married to a woman that is so conniving that she would use her own daughter to get what she wanted from her husband? You talk about low. There's no low place the world won't go. And they care nothing of a Christian life. They don't care nothing of a Christian life. And the king was sorry. Nevertheless, for the oath's sake, them which sat with him at meat. So his oath to her was stronger than his respect for John. Not much respect, is it? He commanded it to be given her. And he sent and beheaded John into prison. Just like that. And he sent and beheaded John. Have it done. All that time that John was down there. And one day, out of the blue, because of a dance. Because of sin, because of the world, because of those against the way of the Lord, those against His paths, those against the message that John was preaching, against the life he was living, the repentance that he was offering, it cost him his head. And his head was brought in a charger and given to the damsel. And she brought it to her mother. Look at this, verse 12. And his disciples came and took up the body and buried it and went and told Jesus. John was buried without his head. Do you think that that was bothering John? Wasn't bothering John. John was already with his Lord. Amen? John was already in heaven with Jesus. He had run the race that he was made to run. Now you think about that. Think about what he faced, but it brought him to the place of being with his Lord. Being in that dark place, that lonely place, was the place he was brought to right before he was took to his Lord. I thought about Stephen. Could you imagine? What would you do if, like Stephen, you were witnessing to people and then suddenly they ran upon you and started gnashing upon you? He was all alone. There was nobody else there to pull anybody off of him. He was overcome by this group of, they thought they were religious, but they were God haters, Christ deniers. Antichrist. Listen, Antichrist, there is no limit to what Antichrist will do. Them that's against him. They were gnashing like animals. Stephen said, I see Jesus. Standing. I mean, he got the whole statement out. Didn't even struggle. I see Jesus. Standing. They may have been biting hunks out of him. He didn't feel a thing. Why, he was passing into the third heaven. Don't fear. God said for us, he hath taken the sting of death away. We suffer in this life. Yeah, we may suffer in this life. Will reign with him. That's what the Bible says. Amen. We'll be with our Lord. Nothing in this life is too bad or too dark, but what it's not going to be glorious when we get to heaven with Jesus. Amen. I bless the Lord today. Can you stand with your Lord? Will you stand with your Lord? You may be facing things right now. Just keep standing. Know that the Lord knows where you're at. Jesus knew right where John was. Jesus knew John was in prison. You need to remember that. It wasn't necessary for him to get him out. He could have. He could have opened those prison doors, Brother Mike, just like he did after he ascended for Peter. He could have let John walk out of there at any time. That was the will of God for John to go through what that was his testimony. That was a testimony against them. Your life is either a testimony against you or a testimony against the world. I don't want my life to be a testimony against me. I'd like for it to be a testimony of light, of salt. Let's all stand.